All God's people said,
amen.
Thank you, ladies. That's pin one and pin two. And we're thankful for our praise band. If you thought you were coming to the contemporary service, you made a wrong turn in the breezeway. So I requested that song about a week ago, and they said they'd do it for me today. I'm so thankful. Well, I wrote a message the other day. The music's going to be better than the message. And it's entitled, When Heaven's Windows Are Open. Never really done a study on that. This is not exhaustive. But just wanted to share with you today from Matthew chapter 3, 13 through 17. And also Malachi 3, verse 10 and 11. And several other passages of Scripture. I want to share with you what happens when God opens the windows of heaven. When I was growing up, we used to go out to my Uncle Billy and Aunt Mary Lou's house out in Warrenton, Georgia. We loved going out there because they had three great fishing ponds, 1,200 acres, and my first cousins had the best toys we'd ever played with in our lives. They had a nice brick home, but it was a standard ranch brick home. It was just three bedrooms and two baths, and then they had a carport on the end. My aunt worked for Southern Bell as an operator. Does anybody know what an operator was? And she was the kind like on Andy of Mayberry. She knew everything that was going on in that town. Well, she decided to go to beauty school. And then she made the decision to build a beauty shop in her home. Here's what she did. She had her husband to take their carport and brick in the front and put a door in the front. But next to that carport in the house was the den. And remember, it used to be a carport, so they had two windows on that common wall with the garage. They wanted to cut expenses, so they decided not to build a door from the den into the garage. And it's like I was there, I'm there right now. I'm sitting in the den, and a customer drives up, and she walks in the front door where the garage was bricked in and had a door. And I can see my aunt raising the window in the den, and she always went through the window into her shop. And the larger she got, I thought she may have to close this shop one day. But the reason why we enjoyed watching that is she had one of those old-fashioned Coca-Cola drink boxes in the beauty shop. And so we made sure when a customer drove up that we would go and sit in the den, and when she would crawl over in the window, she'd reach in the drink box and she would hand us Coca-Colas. And back then they were 10 cents a piece. So we always enjoyed smelling witch hazel, ammonia, and other dyes that people were putting in their head. Now think about this with me. Have you ever noticed how many times the windows of heaven are mentioned in the Old and in the New Testament? When the windows of heaven are raised, I want you to know that God's blessings come down. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss any of God's blessings. So the first thing I want you to do is turn to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. And the first thing we're going to talk about is money. It's one of your favorite subjects in church. Malachi 3, verse 10 and 11 says that God opens the windows of heaven. Look at verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I'll not throw open the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. So God opens the windows of heaven. And notice here that he uses a farming illustration. And actually, he's saying that I am rebuking Satan. Look at this. He says, the drought will not destroy your crops. Disease nor pest will come along and destroy your crops. He says that if you'll trust me and try me with the 10% of your gross income, he says, I'll make sure you have an abundant life. All your needs will be met. Now, I don't know about you. I'd like to be a part of that promise. God gives us the portion there. Notice he says that we're to give the tithe, the tenth. Now, the other thing he tells us is the place we're supposed to give it. Back then, it was the tabernacle, the house of worship. Here is the local church. What is that? That's the house of worship. So he's given us the portion. He's given us the place. And then the third thing he says here, he says, I'm going to tell you about the plenty. He says, and when I give you the plenty, he said, that's going to be the proof of the promise. Now listen to me carefully. Across America, we know this. Of your active members, only 20% of your members actually tithe on their income. Did you hear what I said? Only 20% in an active congregation give 80% of the money, and those are the ones who tithe, which tells me that 80% of Christians, while they're living here on this earth, they leave most of their blessings where? On the other side of the windows of heaven. Delaney and I have noticed something as we've tithed through the years. God sends the supply most of the time before we have a need. We've started reacting like this. If a check comes in the mail that we didn't expect, and it was a pretty good amount, we say, well, praise God. But let's put it up somewhere. Something's about to explode. We don't know what it is. The car may break down. The air conditioner may blow up. We have no idea. But God oftentimes sends the supply before we know we have a need. I read an article the other day about the Dave Ramsey show. And they entitled the article, Still Cleaning Toilets. I thought, well, I have to read this. This has got to be theological and deep. A 70-year-old couple called in his radio show, and they said, Dave, we got a problem. We have a cash shortage. They said, we have only saved $50,000 for our retirement, and we owe $27,500 on our house, and we have a little pet vintage car out here that we don't really drive that's worth $10,000. Said, what are we going to do? She said, I'm cleaning people's houses just to try to raise cash. We're both in our 70s. And here's what Dave Ramsey said. He said, the first thing you need to do is sell that vintage car for $10,000 and put that $10,000 on that $27,500 mortgage. He said, the other thing that needs to happen, your husband at 70 years old needs to get a job. And he said, the bad news is, lady, you're going to be cleaning toilets in other people's houses until you're no longer able to do so, and your husband's going to have a job until he's physically disabled. Now, but listen to me carefully. If you tithe and just live on these simple principles, 10% to God, 10% to save, and live on the other 80%, you'll be surprised at how God multiplies what you have. Now, the blessings he's talking about, sometimes it's financial, sometimes it's spiritual, sometimes it's health. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand today, but how many of you had COVID? We did. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad that God opened the windows of heaven and brought me health and out of that mess. God blesses us in different ways, and this is the only place in the Bible where we're told we can test and try God, and I'm going to promise you, if you do what he says, God fulfills his promises 100%. Second thing I want you to see here today is monitoring our spiritual life, and that's also in Malachi 3, 10, and 11. And also, you remember Jesus said he came to give us life more abundantly. In other words, he wants to bless our family. He wants to bless our business. He wants to bless our relationships with other people. He says, now listen, if you'll just honor me, he says, I'm going to take care of you. Now, I'm not talking about a health and wealth gospel here. So God says, I open the windows of heaven to rebuke Satan. Because Satan comes to do what? To steal, kill, and destroy. Satan wants to destroy your marriage. I was talking to somebody yesterday who got a divorce a couple of years ago. And the person that she was married to immediately remarried the person he was living with before the divorce was over. And guess what? The new wife has already caught him with another woman. And this person that got the divorce that was talking to me about it said, my smile is so big, I can't take it off my face. And I said, don't. I said, the muscles are going to get tired. You're going to have to give it a rest. But you're going to have to smile every now and then. But I want you to know he wants to destroy your relationship with your children. He wants to destroy the lives of your children. I was talking with a coach just the other day, and he said, you know, the problem in college football right now with the portal and paying all this money, NIL, he says the ages of 18 through 22 are years where they're very formative, where you ought to build in Christian principles and build character. And he said, as a head coach, now if you discipline one of your players for doing something that breaks the rules or breaks the law, if you discipline that particular player, he'll enter the transfer portal and go play somewhere else for more money. Satan wants to destroy your kids. And I want you to know that Satan wants to destroy your profession as well. You remember that Jesus rebuked Satan when he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, and God wants to rebuke the devil and all that he wants to do in our life. June 2023, it was in India. A man checked into a nice hotel, and he said, I want to stay one night. So he signed the forms. They checked him in for one night. Well, day two, he didn't check out. Day three, he didn't check out. Day four, he didn't check out. Let me tell you what he did. He stayed for 2 years. His bill at the end of 2 years was $71,000. He didn't pay. So this hotel reported him to the police. I want you to think about Satan. Listen carefully. Satan does the same thing. He always stays much longer than expected, and he never picks up the tab. He leaves you with the destruction, so don't let him check in. The next thing I want you to write down is the Messiah and the revelation and results. Look at Matthew 3, 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open. The windows of heaven are open. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. So write down the word revelation. I'd say that God opens the windows of heaven to reveal his Son. Now, why did he do this? Here's why he did it. He did this first to announce this was his Son in this particular occasion, But through the symbolism of Jesus' baptism, God initiated the ministry of Jesus at this point. And through that baptism, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he announced the beginning of God's purpose for sending his Son, and that was to die on the cross and to seek and to save the lost. And look what happens. The windows of heaven open, and the Holy Spirit comes down upon him, and we see the symbolism here. It says, with a dove. Now, I was trying to see this from John the Baptist's perspective. John was preaching, there's one who is coming. I'm not even worthy to latch his sandals. There's one coming. I'm the forerunner to the king. But can you imagine what John the Baptist was thinking when he baptized Jesus and the windows of heaven opened and the Holy Spirit came down and the voice from heaven, the voice of God, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Whoop. Look what else is here. He says here, that look, Jesus didn't need to be baptized. Baptism doesn't cleanse you from your sin, doesn't save you. No, none of that. Jesus had no sin. He was not baptized for himself, but he was baptized to show why he had come into this world. I think it's interesting that the Spirit of God came from heaven in the form of a dove. When I go back to Genesis chapter 6, and I see the picture of the flood, what happened when the flood came? What was Noah doing to find out when the waters had receded enough, it was time to get off the ark? What did he do? He sent out a what? A dove. Isn't that interesting? What happened the first time he sent out the dove? The dove was gone for a while, and the dove came back. So what did that mean? It wasn't any place to land. The water's too deep. Second time he sent out a dove, what did he bring back? Just a twig. That means that there may be some tops of some trees that are now above the water. And the third time he sent out the dove, what happened? He didn't come back. Now, I was reading a commentary the other day, and I hope the guy was sober when he said this. But he said, I'd like to just imagine that the third time that dove went out, that dove thought, well, you know, I'm just going to look around and see if I can't find Moses somewhere. I think I'll light on his shoulder. But he couldn't light on Moses' shoulder, because what did Moses do? He struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. He said, I'll just fly around out here and see if I can find David somewhere hanging out. But David had a little problem with adultery and murder, so not going to land there. And so he says, well, he flew around, might land on the shoulder of one of the prophets, but no, he went by the Jordan River. And he found one named the Son of God, and there's where he lit on his shoulder. Isn't it interesting that the dove is used in both places? And then you go a little further in the Bible, and I look at Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. This is the ascension. After Jesus had accomplished salvation, and after he had paid the price for our sins, and after he had risen from the dead, after he'd presented his blood in the Holy of Holies in heaven, now the Father opens the windows of heaven to receive him. That's what we'd call a real triumphal entry. Now notice, when Jesus came down and he came until the procession stopped at the throne and the Father stood up to welcome his Son, and he indicated for his Son to sit down at the right hand. Why is the Son going to sit at the right hand? Because that is the place of authority in heaven, at the right hand of God. His work was finished. It was all accomplished. And now the angels are singing around the throne, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and receive power and glory and receive riches and wealth. Worthy is the Lamb." The windows of heaven were open. Notice the results of this. Look at Hebrews 1, verse 4. "So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs, that being in the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Listen to Romans 8:34. "Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." It's great to have your pastor and staff praying for you. It's great to have friends and family members praying for you. But ladies and gentlemen, we've got an intercessor, and his name is Jesus, and he's at the right hand of the Father interpreting our request to him, so that the windows of heaven can be open and he pours out his blessings on us. Let's go just a little further in Acts. And we see there in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Listen to this. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." God opens the windows of heaven and he pours out the Holy Spirit on that gathering. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the same resurrection power that Jesus expressed when he rose from the grave. It's the same Holy Spirit that resides in us simultaneous with our salvation. And this all happened because God opened the windows of heaven. Now listen, I want you to see several things that the apostles experienced when God opened the window of heaven. First of all, it's not in your outline, they experienced great blessing. Says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. But notice what else. Read on in the book of Acts. They had great benevolence. You know, in the church, in Acts chapter 2, 3, and 4, when you read there, you'll find that they had all things together. We're not talking about socialism. We're talking about people being sensitive to needs to other people in the body of Christ. You think about Barnabas. Barnabas was probably one of the wealthiest men in the first century church. He was willing to sell property. He's willing to give everything he had to help meet the needs of his brothers and sisters in Christ. So they had great benevolence. They had great blessings, great benevolence. But look a little further here. They were bountiful. It says in verse 34 that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales. So God took care of them, just like God took care of his son when his son was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Then God took care of them just like he took care of the children of Israel. They're wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. He tests them 7 times. They still disobey him. He still takes care of them. He gave them shoes that would never wear out. Ladies, can you imagine that? If you could buy shoes that never wore out, you never needed to buy another pair of shoes. Guys, can you fathom that? I remember one day Delaine walked out in the garage and she came back in and said to me, she said, "Do you know you have 5 golf bags in the garage?" I said, "Yes. One of them is all leather. You gave it to me 30 years ago. She said, "You need to get rid of it." Guys, can you imagine getting rid of a golf bag that your wife gave you, a leather golf bag, from 30 years ago? Absolutely not. I go by and dust it every now and then. And she said, well, I tell you what I'm going to do. She said, I'm going to go online, and I'm going to sell some golf clubs, and I'm going to sell some golf bags. I was just crushed. I don't even know how to go online. And so here's what I did. I looked at her. I said, darling, as soon as I sell some of your shoes, you're welcome to sell all the golf clubs you want. And do you know what? That's the only stalemate I've had in 46 years of marriage. Now, when I go home today, some of my clubs and bags may be gone. Or maybe there'll just be a small fire out in the backyard. I'm not sure which. But God took care of the children of Israel. He fed them for those 40 years. Look at Acts 4:33. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work with them. What a day when God opened the windows of heaven and sent the Holy Spirit. I go further in the book of Acts to the 7th chapter, and I find God opened the window of heaven to receive his servant. He was an old boy named Stephen. Stephen's out preaching and testifying one day, and man, the Jewish and religious leaders, they didn't like what he had to say, and he was telling all about Jesus, and then the next thing you know, they're throwing rocks at him. They're hitting him in the head and all over the body. And then the next thing you know, old Stephen realizes that he's just about to die. And then Stephen looked up to the heavens and said, behold, I see the heavens, and I see the Son of Man standing beside the throne in heaven. Where is Jesus usually? He's seated. But when the first Christian martyr gave his life for the gospel, Jesus stands to honor the homecoming of his servant. Now I want you to listen to me very carefully, because you're going to disagree and you're going to misunderstand what I've got to say. Jesus never sees a born-again believer die. Did you hear what I said? He never sees a born-again believer die, because you're here on this earth, you have your physical birth, and then if you're born again, what happens at death? Absent from the body is present with the Lord. How fast is that? So he takes us immediately. We're given eternal life here, and we walk through. All we're doing is walking through a door, and the door is called death. And we're just instantly in the presence of the Lord. Now, I know Jim Price will want to argue about that after the service. And that's fine. I'll leave him by himself in the Welcome Center to do that. But listen to me carefully. That's what happens to Stephen. You know, Stephen, he's already beginning to see the Son of God standing there at the throne as he's entering the gates of heaven. My friend, if you know Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, one day God will open those heavenly gates and heavenly windows and receive you into glory. Now let's look at the Revelation 4 verse 1. We've got to move quickly. And after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here and I'll show you what must take place after this. Here's old John down here. He's exiled on the Isle of Patmos, and Jesus says, today we're having open house. I want you to come up here, and I want you to see what heaven is all about. God opened the gates and the windows of heaven, and he said, I'm going to give you a tour of what's ahead. And then in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven, and with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ, they will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord forever. Can you imagine what that day is going to be like? Jesus is going to descend, and what are we going to start doing? Ascending. The dead in Christ will come first, and then those of us who are alive will be caught up to be in the air. We'll all be given our glorified, resurrected bodies. What happened? The gates and the windows of heaven are open, and Jesus comes again for his saints. Revelation 19:11, I saw heaven standing open, and there for me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. He's coming back to restore his sovereignty. That's talking about after the 7 years of the great tribulation. He's coming back to set up his kingdom on this earth, and we'll be a part of that. There'll be no war. The lion and the lamb will lay together peacefully. And you see here, there'll be no poverty, there'll be no disease, there'll be no death. Jesus is coming to reestablish his throne and his rule. And Paul says every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess, on this earth and below the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He came the first time to atone for sin. He's coming the second time, ladies and gentlemen, to judge sinners. He came first time as the author of our salvation. He's coming back the second time to be the finisher. He came the first time as the Lamb of God. He's coming back the second time as the Lion of Judah. He came the first time as in humility. He's coming back the next time in power. You know what we like to sing? At Christmas, we all like to sing Silent Night. In that little town of Bethlehem, Jesus was born. I want you to take what's going to happen the next time. He ain't coming on no silent night. He's coming again, and the Bible says there's going to be a shout and the voice of the archangel and the sound of the trumpet, and Jesus is going to return. And then you look again, the first time he came in weakness, but this time he's coming back in power. He came the first time as a little infant. He's coming back the second time as the infinite. He came the first time and he stood before Pilate, but ladies and gentlemen, this time Pilate is going to stand before Jesus. He came the first time to be our Savior. He comes the second time to be our sovereign. He came the first time and stood under condemnation, but this time it's going to be coronation. Why is all that going to happen? Because the gates and the windows of heaven are going to open, and our King is going to come. I wrote this message several weeks ago. I don't know about you, but sometimes I take for granted my blessings. Do you ever do that? It's because we're busy with our schedules and day-to-day life, and in what I do, you're invested in working with other people, and you're invested in them. You know, back in December, Delaine got sick. She got COVID. I got sick, didn't have COVID. We're a pretty pitiful group there, just the two of us. But you know what? She got over it. January, I get COVID. I thought, oh, man, I've never drank so much Mucinex and Winslet homebrew in my whole life. That's cough medicine, for those of you who don't know, with codeine in it. But you know, the day after it kind of went away, after about 10 days, I was back to full strength. I thought, man, what a blessing. When I get paid, I always tell the tellers to give me some cash because I need to give my wife her allowance. That's not really what it is. And you know what? I don't want to know what she does with it. Don't tell me. She has a more generous heart than I have. And she don't want it advertised, but the things that she'll take care of for people around. And I try to follow her example, but I'm just not as generous as she is. And she don't tell me what she does, and sometimes I don't tell her what I do behind the scenes, but I did a couple of things back in January, part of February. Didn't really give it much thought. And then the other day, out of absolutely nowhere, God just blessed us. Delaney looked at me and said, something bad must be fixing to happen. Something fixing to break. I said, no. I said, she's probably been doing something, and I knew I'd been doing a couple of things just to help some folks out. And I thought, I wrote this sermon the other day, and you know what God is doing? He's just reminding me that he's been opening his windows of blessing on us through all these years of ministry. The same way he'll open the windows of blessings for you if you just trust him. Now, what good is a window? It lets sunlight in. You can raise it in about 2 weeks and let pollen in your house. Back in when I was a kid, we didn't have air conditioning. Daddy would raise the window and put a fan in the window to let more hot air in the house. We'd sleep better, is what he said. And then he'd remind me he didn't have a fan when he grew up on the farm. I never cried for that old boy. He was killing us, heat stroke. But you know what? The window's a blessing here says, if you'll trust and obey, leave the results to God, he's going to bless you. He's going to fill your barns to the overflowing so that you and I can bless other people. And as we meet the needs of other people quietly, secretly, you know what God does? He reloads us. And we bless people all over again. God, please don't let me miss any blessings because I want to share with other people. Would you stand right where you are? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Lord, thank you for meeting with us. Very simple message, something we forget about because we're so involved in what we think is important. And all you want is humble servants who just do what you say. If we're willing to trust you with our eternal security, our salvation, you share with us in very simple terms, we're to trust you with our lives, our livelihood, material, spiritual, monetary, everything, because you want to bless your children, but you want us to be very sensitive to bless other people. If you're here today and never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, listen, he lived a perfect life. He gave his life, shed his blood on the cross, to pay the price for your salvation and mine that we could never, ever satisfy. And he said, whosoever calls on his name shall be saved. Would you do that today? Some of you have already made that decision. You need to make it public. We invite you to come. You need to be a candidate for baptism. If Jesus was baptized to symbolically show the death, burial, and the resurrection, we need to symbolically follow in obedience to share with other people symbolically what we believe in our hearts. And Lord, I pray today if there's some here who've been our guests for a while, been praying about it, want to become a part of the ministry of this church, that they would come and move their membership to this place. We want to give you thanks for public and private decisions that are about to be made. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, Eric and Richard are coming forward over in the Family Life Center. Praise Man's coming forward. If you need to make a decision when they begin to play, we ask you to come. If you're uncomfortable doing that, go to the east end of the gym, Connect Desk. Staff members will meet with you there. If you're comfortable coming forward here, Ted's going to join me. Uncomfortable coming forward, meet us at the Welcome Desk after the service. If you're listening on our podcast and you need to make a decision for Christ or a prayer request, call 706-234-1841 and leave a message, and one of our staff members will get back to you just as soon as possible. So Bill's going to lead us now. You come as God speaks to your heart.